morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Spirit has caused to be recorded in St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, where we read as follows these words, "Thy kingdom come." Let us pray. Sanctify us by your truth, Holy Father. Your word is truth. Amen. Thy kingdom come, what does this mean? The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. How does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. This is how the Small Catechism explains this second petition of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. In Matthew's gospel, it's called the kingdom of heaven. Mark and Luke refer to it as the kingdom of God. Jesus described his kingdom in parables, stories, saying the kingdom of God is like, and then he would tell a story. The kingdom of God is like a treasure in a field, a beautiful pearl, a seed planted in the ground, a net that gathers all kinds of fish, a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants, or a landowner who hires men to work in his vineyard. Jesus told stories to describe how God's kingdom is different from kingdoms established by men. The governments of this world are God's servants. God rules over us through the civil authorities. They protect us from criminals, keep outward peace, law, and order, and of course they tax us and enlist us to fight in their wars. God rules over us through governments, good and bad, mostly bad, throughout the world. They're God's servants to punish the bad guys and protect the good guys. They exercise the power of the sword, that is, the power of physical force. This is the nature of all of the world's kingdoms. Do good and you'll be safe. Do bad and you'll be fined, imprisoned, or put to death. This world's kingdoms don't rule by persuasion, but by force. While God rules over us through the kingdoms of this world, none of these kingdoms are what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, for which our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, is a different kind of kingdom, exercising a different kind of authority than the governments of this world. Jesus told Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. Pilate knew that Christ's kingdom was no threat to Rome or to any civil power. He was mocking Christ and the Jews when he ordered this title to be put above Christ's head on the cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Pilate, the religious cynic, didn't realize he was speaking for God. Jesus gained the authority of his kingdom on the cross. To understand the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," you must know what Jesus did on the cross, the price he paid, the battle he fought, and the victory he won. It was on the cross that Jesus bore in his body the sin of the world. He, the righteous, became sin for us. Our sin was imputed to him. He was punished for them. The price he paid to gain his kingdom was his own suffering for the sin of the world. This was also the battle he fought. On the cross, he fought against our enemies and defeated them. He fought against sin as he, in his innocence, felt the guilt of all sinners. He felt it in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said his soul was sorrowful to the point of death. He fought against death. He was the Lord of life, and he endured the death of all sinners. He fought against the devil, who by a tree first overcame the first Adam, then the second Adam, Jesus Christ, overcame him by the tree of the cross. The kingdom of God is where God gives us the victory that Jesus won over sin, death, and the power of the devil. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit from the Father. The Holy Spirit makes us holy. He does so by forgiving us our sins and delivering us from death and the devil. This is how Christ rules over us. It is a spiritual reign. It is hidden from sight. God's name is hallowed where God's word is taught in its truth and purity. This is also where God's kingdom comes to us. The Holy Spirit grants us his grace to believe the word of God. He enables us to live holy lives. The kingdoms or governments of men rely on the threats of the law to do their job. The law cannot change the heart. The kingdom of God for which we pray in the Lord's Prayer relies on the power of the gospel. The gospel has the power to change the heart. The governments of this world cannot exercise the authority of the gospel. It is not given to them. It is given to the church. The kingdom of God is the holy Christian church. The kingdom of God is not America. It is not the Israel located in the Middle East on the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea, and it's not going to be there either. The kingdom of God is the new Israel, the holy Christian church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the heavenly Jerusalem, the kingdom of grace in which Christ's righteousness covers us. Do you know how wealthy we Christians are? God himself invites us to ask him to rule over us by his grace. Now, do you think he would tell us to pray for it and then deny it to us? What is more precious than God's grace? Justice, law and order, due process, financial security and safe neighborhoods? What are these in comparison with Jesus Christ, the victor over sin, death, and the devil, ruling over us by his grace? By his grace. He doesn't threaten. He doesn't manipulate or bribe or engage in any politicking. He rules over us by his Spirit and truth. He gives us holy lives to live. First, he makes us holy by forgiving us all our sins. He claimed the authority to forgive sins here on earth. And then he gained the authority by dying for us. And then he makes us holy by changing us on the inside. He makes the unwilling sinner a willing saint. When we doubt him, resist him, and disobey him, he calls us back to himself, claims his kingship over us, And he is our king as he clothes us in his own righteousness. Now, if it is by God's grace, it is not because of our prayer. Our prayer doesn't make God gracious. We pray because God is gracious. And how do we know that God is gracious toward us? Or to put it another way, how do we know when God's kingdom comes to us? The Catechism answer is quite simple. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit so that by His grace we believe His Holy Word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. To live a godly life is to live a life in fellowship with God. Here in time, the godly life is laced with sin. As the Bible says, the spirit fights against the flesh, and the flesh fights against the spirit. When we give into the flesh and commit sins for which we are ashamed, we're tempted to give up the fight because we can't win it anyway. Why fight? When we pray, Thy kingdom come, we're asking God to fight for us, to stay with us in the fight, and not to abandon us to our own weakness and doubts. The godly lives we live here on earth are indeed infected by sin. But the kingdom that is ours now, under great weakness, will be ours in heaven when all our sin is purged and gone forever. The kingdom of grace will give way to the kingdom of glory. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, we are praying for Christ's return. And when He returns, His invisible kingdom will become visible, but only after He returns to judge. Until then, Christ's kingdom remains hidden from sight and known only through faith. God's kingdom will come. And that's not some political thousand-year reign on earth in Jerusalem, as the millennialists imagine, but it is taking the church here on earth to heaven. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, we're praying that God keep us steadfast in the faith. We're praying for faith for us and for others. We're praying that the Holy Spirit will convert those who are trapped in their sins, captive to false religions, and estranged from God. When we pray, God hears, and He answers. We keep on praying in confidence that the Holy Spirit will establish in this world the kingdom of Christ that is not of this world, and that He will maintain His holy Christian church. Amen. We thank you for being our guests today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. We're happy to bring this to you every week. We'd like to invite you to the services of our parish. On Sunday morning, we have divine service at St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview at 8 o'clock. And we also have divine service at Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney at 10 o'clock. We'd love to have you as our guests. Check us out on the World Wide Web, christforus.org. Tune in next week for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.